Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you would, and today I will be Michael Sterling. Is that okay?
I never get the lead role anymore. Killing me, man. I'll be Andrew David James
today. Will you?
How are you, Michael?
I'm good, thank you.
Good
for,
to see you.
This kind of unseasonably warm day.
You know, it's always unseasonably warm in California these days, isn't it?
We can't figure it out. We don't get it right.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
But my dogs know it because I feel sorry for them because, you know, all that fur that dogs have, animals have, and being in this heat. So,
right.
Yeah. They tolerate it, though.
Well, they're good pups.
They are good pups. Shall we thank our sponsors here?
That's a good thing to do every show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed. And as you know, Andrew, a new sponsor joins us today. The Federal Bar and Restaurant, a beacon in the middle of North Hollywood's trendy arts district, and one of the best gastro pubs in all of L.A.
You've got that right. And what's more, Michael, is that the Federal is a great place to hold your next event. They have a beautiful, unique space completed with an outdoor-covered patio overlooking the surrounding NoHo area. Really is one of the most beautiful places in the world. The space is not only fit to any theme, but also easily it can meet any of your production needs. You don't have to get me started on all that food, obviously. You know how much I love the burgers there, yeah? And, of course, the drinks. And, of course, I mean, that's that next innovative California cuisine combined with craft cocktails and how many beers? 25
beers
on tap. Beers,
right? Yeah. Can you imagine?
It's amazing. Well, it doesn't just get any better than that, does it?
It's a true entertainment and dining destination. The Federal also offers easy on-site parking, which is very important to know that in the city of Los Angeles. So what are you waiting for? A friendly and professional staff can assist you with all the details to make your occasion an event to remember. It's as simple as that. Just email Laura Prosser at laura@thefederalbar.com or call her at 818-980-2555 for a tour and let the planning begin.
That's right. And again, that number is 818-980-2555. Michael, I love the Federal. I'm so glad they're joining us here on State of the Art.
It's a wonderful, wonderful place to go.
It's an iconic place.
People don't know. It's a building that was built in 1926 as the Federal Bank and partially responsible for Lancashire Boulevard becoming Lancashire Boulevard with Universal at the other end of the street there, and that's where everybody did their banking.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I have a friend, a very, very dear friend, who runs a club upstairs.
Oh, you do?
This is called Sterling's Above the Federal.
Sterling's
right.
upstairs
at the Federal, that's right. Michael, how long have you been there with your club?
4 years. This is our fifth year.
What a great venue to be there, you know. It's really amazing, really amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, Michael, we have another jam-packed show today. We are joined by two significant forces in L.A.'s current theater scene, Broadway and television's Emmy Award-winning Jay Rodriguez, is here to discuss his amazing new project at the Falcon Theater. He's starring in Buyer and Seller, a show we've both had the privilege of seeing at at Toluca Lake's Falcon Theater right now through November 6th. That's right. Everybody welcome Jay Rodriguez. Do you take them with you everywhere you go?
I do. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I would love
really
that.
Really lovely. Also joining us in is musical theater star Emily Bridges, who's co-starring in the title role of the world premiere Spindle City, the Lizzie Borden musical, currently on stage through November 5th at the Secret Rose Theater in the NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood. Give it up for Emily Bridges.
So nice to be here.
I think we should make it clear, those are two completely different sets of fans. Emily's are sitting on one side of the studio and
That's
Jay's
right,
are on the other
exactly.
side.
They're well behaved.
It's very crowded in here.
Before we speak to Jay and Emily, how was your week?
A good week. It was a busy week filled up with, I'm working on a new workshop for a show that's premiering at the Chameleon Theater Festival, 17th annual theater festival where they do new plays, which was very exciting. Glad to be a part of that. And I spent all yesterday getting punched in the head for a film, so that was fun too. to.
Well, explain to our listeners exactly what that means.
Well, my wife was on set, and she was upset with me. No, that's not appropriate. I'm a fight choreographer, obviously, and we had one shot that we had to do 22 different angles on in order to get right.
22? Are there 22 different angles?
Apparently there are. One of the problems, though, that we were having is that the punch was a real punch. It was used as a real punch, and we couldn't get it right without doing it real. So when you're shooting that many angles, you very quickly learn how to take a hit. So we did that for a long time, and the good news is that it turned out looking great from what we saw in the dailies. But I will tell you, those days I always come back fearing that that's going to be my last day on set. This is it.
So, no, you're a braver man than I.
Well, we had a good time, and the talented performer, I tell you, stunt performers are one of those people who don't always get the recognition. And on this film, you realize how hard they have to work. Did a really nice job.
You mean to say that
us.
They don't have their own awards?
They do. There are awards for stunt performers. Although I think that if you see, for instance, I was talking to a friend at a party the other day who, he's one of the best in the business. He's very well known, Clay. And he doubles
for... He just
for,
goes by Clay?
Clay Fordhide Donahue is his last name. But he doubles for Jamie Foxx, of course, and he doubles for Denzel Washington. And he's an amazing stunt performer. But he was showing me photos, and every photo he has is not his face because they're trying to keep it from looking like him. So it's really, I mean, it's you realize that their faces, even though they do all this hard work, they don't get known in the business quite as much. So shake a stunt person's hand when you meet him. Tell him good job.
Yeah, exactly. That's a hard thing to do, hard way to earn a living. So
no doubt about it.
Great respect for you, Andrew.
Well, thank you. I don't know how much I do of it. I'm more of just a fight choreographer, but I certainly do have appreciation for them. How was your week? You were at the theater a lot.
Yeah, aside from seeing the Byron Cellar with Jay last night, have been dealing with a show that I represent, which is 3D Theatricals, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And it is the premier offering of 3D Theatricals, which is a production company, a very large production company out of Orange County. And it's a new home at the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts. A beautiful, beautiful, almost looks like an opera house inside. It's so stunning. And it is the first of three musicals that will be coming into that space for this 2016-2017 season. And Mark Kudish, who is the three-time Tony nominee, for his work in 9 to 5 and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
We had him on the show last week.
Thoroughly Modern Millie. Mm-hmm. He is making his directorial debut with this show in a musical. He had never had directed a musical before, yet it was the very show that started Mark's career on Broadway.
Wow.
So he certainly has a great feel for it and has brought a very reimagined approach to Joseph, because I think by this point in time, we've all seen Joseph probably two or three times. And this was really an opening. I must say, it really felt to me like it was seeing it for the first time again, because there were so many things that were contemporary now put into the show that people can relate to, especially younger kids.
They didn't set it in
reference.
Egypt?
Oh, you know, no. Yes, it was in
revolutionary production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, set in Memphis, Tennessee.
Right, exactly.
Wow, I've heard great things about the show. It sounds like it's a fantastic
So it's the last weekend. There's five more performances this weekend. And for those of you down in Orange County area, make sure you check it out at the beautiful Cerritos Performing Arts Center. And you will have a lovely time. Take your kids.
Well, one of the things that I thought Mark said that was so interesting was he was talking about their casting for Pharaoh. And they were saying how, I mean, it's so often done as Elvis, which is, you know, everybody always talking like this, you know, and you always laugh because it's such a fun, but it's a little bit kitschy. He said it as James Brown.
Yeah,
sort
James
of inspired,
Brown.
I like that.
I
mean,
so cool, right? See, I was like, I'm there. That's
the young man that plays this role is good looking, and boy, can he sing, and he just kills it.
Well, I think that's awesome. It's going to be a really exciting production. I'm anxious to get down there, so... Shall we introduce these amazing people?
I think we
people?
Should.
We got two
think?
People who have been very patient here waiting for us.
Yes.
Our first guest stars as Lizzie Borden in the world premiere musical Spindle City, the Lizzie Borden musical, at the Secret Rose Theater in NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood. Her stage credits include the first six lessons, which she wrote and co-wrote with her father. Is that correct?
Yes, it's called Acting the First Six Lessons.
Amazing.
And it is... it's an adaptation of the book by Richard Boleslavsky, who was one of the ones to really bring Stanislavski's methods to out here to the West, to the U.S.
Cool.
And it's a dialogue between old curmudgeonly acting teacher and his young student as she evolves. And I wrote it with my dad. We performed it The original production was done here at Theater West.
Wow.
Now it's starting to be performed other places, which is fun to see.
Cool. She has also appeared in Bob Cratchit and Mr. Tightwad, The School for Scandal, Extremities, and the off-Broadway production of Bram Stoker's Dracula. Recent television appearances include Code Black and Masters of Sex. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm round of applause to the beautiful Emily Bridges.
Hello, all you people that are definitely here right now.
What a cool project that sounds like. So you've worked with your dad. Did you also appear in the world premiere of that show as well?
Yes, we did it. It was a two-hander, so we performed that together.
How
he
cool.
was the curmudgeonly acting teacher, and I was his
playing against
student.
Type, of course.
Yes.
What is that like, working with your dad in that capacity?
It was an incredible process. If anyone has the opportunity to go through a creative process like that with a member of your family,
right.
It is one of the most rewarding and challenging and fantastic things that you can do, and it was just great.
That's cool.
Well, clearly he's being the great actor that he is, he's also very supportive, I'm sure, of everything that you're doing, being that is.
Yes, definitely.
Doctor.
No,
Were you at all intimidated at the beginning of the process?
Not really, because it's something we had talked about doing for so long, and then we just started chipping away at it slowly, and it kind of snowballed into a thing that was happening, and so it was really, really positive, the whole experience, even when we started driving each other crazy, as you want to do. But
was that first time working together?
No, we... I think the first time we worked together, I was 3 years old,
wow.
and in a little tutu and cowboy boots.
Which he was also in, I hope, as well.
Yes, yeah. In the opening of, God, what was that? I think it was Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, how cool. That sounds great. Well, Bo is one of my favorites. He's done some amazing, amazing work.
Good,
yes,
me too.
Yes, he has. Your whole family, all of that family is... pretty stellar.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about this Lizzie Borden musical? I'm a
sure.
Lizzie Borden fan. The story, I think, is fascinating and all the things that go with it. Like I said before the show, I don't know that I would necessarily want her as a friend.
Right.
But, man, what a story she has. Do you think she ever thought a musical was going to be written about her life?
No, well, I can't tell you. It's been sort of the actor dream doing this show because there's so much information. You can kind of really go down the rabbit hole in terms of research and finding out all kinds of stuff. And I think it's a great show for Halloween time. You know, I've always been into kind of spooky stuff. And it's definitely a melodrama in the truest sense, in that it's elevated and out there, kind of. And it's when do you ever get an opportunity where you can really just make all those big crazy choices and run around like an insane person? And it's a wonderful cast. I'm really having a ball.
How big is the cast?
It's huge.
Wow.
For the space that we're in, where the Secret Rose is a wonderful little theater. It's very intimate, so you can sit anywhere and you are practically on stage. And I think there might be 16 of us there.
Wow.
We've got 3 kids on the stage with us. Wonderful actors. But yeah, it's a big cast.
That's great. And obviously not a bad seat in that house either. So
No.
And of course, I said this to you before we went on air, but my friend Kristen Towers-Rawls, who co-stars in the show with you, right?
Yes, Kristen is absolutely fantastic.
She's amazing.
I've really gotten a kick. We were talking the other day, me and Kristen. There's a great scene in the show where Kristen plays my paramour, Nance O'Neill. And in the scene where they meet each other, it's kind of this awkward tension between those two who are connecting for the first time and the ill-fated Abby Borden, who's my stepmother, and my sister Emma, and the maid Bridget, who's a kind of funny character who's always caught up in all this craziness of the Borden household. And Kristen and I were talking about looking at each other and looking around the room and seeing all of these women having this great scene together, where it doesn't always happen that way. There's
right.
some juicy parts for us ladies in this show, and that's been so much fun to do every night because you don't always get that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. And how is the score? I'm so anxious to see this show.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It is all over the map musically.
Yeah.
It's there's some of the more classic elements of that time period, and the way that I kind of think about it is whenever things are sort of normal in the world as other people perceive it, the music is more of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And any time you're seeing things through Lizzie's perspective, it's rock, it's salsa, it's everything and more. So it's been fun to kind of use the music as a way of exploring her
now,
brain.
Looking at you here in the studio, you're very sweet and you're very beautiful. And is this how you appear in the show, or is there a transformation of your physical?
I think there's a bit of a physical transformation.
Yeah. In the show, she actually looks exactly like Jay Rodriguez.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually. Yeah, I am just a dude. No, I have some pretty intense helmet head. I've got a lot of very tight curls that are piled up sort of imperiously, and you could throw a rock at my bun and you wouldn't be able to do any damage at all. So yeah, I'm quite severe looking, but the costumes are beautiful. We've had a lot of fun with those, you know. I love playing around at the costume house. That's one of the best.
Well, now here at State of the Arts, we have a lot of young listeners, people who may not be familiar with Lizzie's story. This was iconic at the time. I mean, it took over America as a true crime story. Can you tell us a little breakdown about who Lizzie was and kind of how this musical came about in reference to what her life was like?
Sure. Well, Lizzie Borden was an unmarried woman living in Fall River, Massachusetts, and the crimes happened in 1892. And very unusual at this time that you would have an unmarried woman of a very wealthy family. Her mm-hmm. father had a lot of money, but he was kind of miserly and didn't have a lot of friends. And both she and her sister were unmarried. So there's already some sort of mystery there. Like, what was going on, yeah. Lizzie? And there were a lot of people that had reason to want her father dead. We do not know what exactly happened because Lizzie was acquitted of the crime. The actual trial only lasted 90 minutes, which I found very interesting.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
And at the end of the day, they didn't have any kind of, you know, physical evidence didn't really exist at that time. They couldn't test the blood or anything. And so what they determined is that a woman would not be physically capable of wielding an axe, which is how her stepmother and father, you know, there's the classic nursery rhyme is Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, gave her father 41.
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
See, they say sexism has no benefit.
Right?
It got off because of social norms. It's so funny. When I was reading this story, I mean, this is a fascinating story. And, of course, I always heard the rhyme as Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. And when the job was nicely done, she gave her father 41.
Yes.
Which just has that ominous reoccurring, oh, my goodness. And I remember as a child, that stuck with me. And you realize that in 1892, kids were saying that while jumping rope.
Very creepy.
And yeah.
We definitely have a creepy child element of this show as well, which is...
I didn't know my children were in the show.
Oh, I'm not talking about.
We have, oh my gosh, the kids in this show are great. It's always fun when we work with young people because they really kick up the energy and they're just great.
Okay. Wow. And Kristen Towers roles.
Yes, her daughter Michaela is in it. She's just fantastic. And Alex and Christian, the other kids in our cast, are just great.
That's great. Well, now it's interesting. This story, Lizzie, after she was acquitted, went out and lived the rest of her life, I think, on the East Coast, maybe upstate New York or something. But she
actually came back to Fall River and she lived there.
Oh, my goodness.
For the rest of her life. She was estranged from her sister. Part of what this story, you know, we take a little artistic license with the order that events happened in, just because it's more dramatic if you show it all at once. But she was famously at the time, there are love letters between she had a thing for actresses.
Wow.
And which I think is an interesting part of the story that is often eliminated because people don't talk about it. And so that's been a fun part of the play because so much of it is dark and so much of it is weird that it's kind of fun to have the little love story thrown in there and, you know, kind of these different moments. But that was very much Lizzie. She ended up throwing these lavish parties, and traveling theater troupes would come and party at the Borden house because it was ironically a safe haven to kind of be who you are.
Artist community kind of thing.
Right, which that is a bit further beyond the reach of this particular production. But like I said, I've gone down the rabbit hole with research, so that's been fun.
Each year I direct a show called Dark Heart of Poe, which is one of my, I'm wearing my Poe cufflinks today, as a matter of
beautiful.
Fact. But there was, of course, he was gone long before Lizzie Borden, but it's interesting because there was a commentator who wrote that Lizzie essentially finished what Edgar Allan Poe started. She brought macabre culture into the current mindset where people had all these dark feelings and fantasies and thoughts and all that, and she kind of gave a voice to them in a strange way because people saw her story and latched onto it. It was one of those trials of the century sort of thing. People were fascinated by it.
Yeah, totally strange. And people, I mean, she, after the murder, she did benefit financially when her parents were slaughtered, whether she did it or not. She ended up buying a big old house on the hill in the fanciest part of town. And pretty much after that, she became this sort of ghostly figure that kids would come by right. and, dare each other to go knock on her door. And I think people just have always been fascinated by that.
Wow. That's amazing. Amazing show. Now, this is at the Secret Rose Theater, correct?
Yes.
One of our intimate venues down there in NoHo. A great spot.
It's been wonderful. It's really fun to be that close to the audience. You get such an immediate response. We had someone, actually a couple times now, in our last weekend was our opening weekend, and we've had people who actually hiss at the villains, which is just one of the most fun things to experience because it's totally that kind of show. And so if you're coming to see the show, more of that, please, because that was fun.
Bring your hiss. Get your hiss on.
That's right. There's nothing better than getting to boo a villain that's played really well.
Yeah.
For those of you listening to this program, we're going to tell you where the Secret Rose Theater is. As Andrew said, in the NoHo Arts District, it's actually at 11246 Magnolia Boulevard, right in the thick of everything. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely theater. And the show performances run through Saturday, November 5th. And regular show times are Friday at 8 p.m., Saturday at 3 p.m., and 8 p.m., and Sunday at 3 p.m.
And, of course, there's a special Halloween show on Monday, October 31st at 8 p.m. Obviously, period costumes are okay and encouraged. Fake axes will be on sale in the foyer. Is that correct?
Oh, my goodness.
That is absolutely correct.
Well, one of the things, this is also right near the Federal, so you go see the show, then you stop by the Federal, get yourself a drink. I got to say, NoHo is becoming a great place to go see a show right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. And you might find Lizzie Borden there as well, because I do that as well after the shows often.
Really? the fake axes reminds me of when we went to see Next Normal at the Pico Playhouse.
So
stunning
cute.
Production. The first time it has been done in an equity waiver house, and it was truly stunning. But when you checked in with your tickets, they gave us. I don't know if they did it with everybody.
That's because you're famous. That's why they gave it to you.
They gave a little a tiny bag of jelly beans, very small jelly beans.
And jelly bellies,
And on the outside of the bag, it says, don't forget to take your meds.
So you had all the little speckled jelly bellies. Looked just like pill caplets.
Oh,
it was
dear.
Very good promotion
That's
over
funny.
There. So obviously, for tickets to this Lizzie Borden musical called Spindle City, the Lizzie Borden musical, you can call 323-960-7780. Again, that number is 323-960-7780.
And as far as online ticketing, you can certainly go to plays411.com and also brownpapertickets.com and pick up your seats there for Spindle City, the Lizzie Borden musical. Website is lizziebordenmusical.com.
Sounds
so
great.
Emily, did you always want to be an actress? I mean, being so influenced in your family life, but I mean, did you know that?
Sure. I think growing up, I've got a bunch of brothers. There are five of us total, and I'm the only girl.
I didn't know that.
And we grew up on film sets and, kind of just like going and working in your father's shop. So that's where we learned it. And some of us got super into it, as I did. My brother Jordan is an actor. My brother Zeke, who's just finishing up college, is getting into it as well. And then my oldest brother is a filmmaker. And my brother Dylan is the smart one. He's on marketing at Universal. So everybody's kind of in it one way or the other, But I kind of just always doing it.
That's great.
Gee.
Very
That's
cool.
nice, right?
Sounds like a good Halloween project, too. I love those kind of fun, creepy Halloween
projects. I'm a big fan of Halloween. I love Halloween. I'm going to be Lizzie Borden for Halloween this year.
You got the costume.
Which is a whole lot of fun. So,
That's
yes.
great. Fantastic.
We have to go see this show.
I'm excited about it. Sounds great.
All right. So we have a couple of other shows to talk
Emily,
about.
Emily, will you be so kind as to hang around with us for a few minutes while we do a live arts calendar?
Absolutely.
Good. We're going to come back and talk to the great Jay Rodriguez here in a minute, too. But let's do a live arts calendar. Here.
The beloved film October Sky is now a triumphant new American musical that will send your heart soaring and inspire your whole family to reach for the stars. In the small town of Colwood, West Virginia, every young man's future is in the coal mines. But after the launch of a Sputnik in 1957, the world's race to space inspires local high schooler Homer Hickam to dream a different type of life. Against the wishes of his practical-minded father, he sets out on an unlikely quest to build his own rockets and light up the night sky. October Sky is an uplifting musical portrait of small-town Americana packed with a youthful exuberance and a sweeping, unforgettable new score. Boy, I'm having trouble getting this
one. I'm with
you. Sorry about that. October Score is now on stage at the prestigious Old Globe Theater in San Diego, California. And for further information regarding tickets and the show's remaining performances through October 23rd, simply call 619-234-5623.
Also, the tragedy of JFK, as told by William Shakespeare, is a world premiere play conceived, adapted, and directed by Daniel Henning. Performing Arts Live says that the show is a masterfully crafted and brilliant production. The casting could not have been any better. Don't be surprised to see this on the New York stage someday soon, Daniel Henning's finest work. The tragedy of JFK, as told by William Shakespeare, is the tale of the conspiracy to assassinate the 35th President of the United States and its aftermath. Using Shakespearean text, this groundbreaking theatrical event illuminates what might have happened surrounding one of the most shocking events in American history. Blank Theater's founding artistic director, Daniel Henning, is a recognized expert on the JFK assassination. He has lectured at colleges and appeared for countless one-hour talk shows, including amazing radio stations such as KABC, WABC, KFI, KPFK, WMAL, and our favorite, LA Talk Radio, on State of the Arts. The tragedy of JFK, as told by William Shakespeare, is a visiting production at the Skylight Theater in Los Feliz. And for additional show information, you can call 323-661-9827. Again, that number is 323-661-9827. What a show.
Yeah. Did anyone see October Sky?
I did not
the
see
film?
No, I've had it on my Netflix,
long time
but I haven't
ago.
Seen
nobody
it,
yeah. in this room?
Yeah. We have an amazing guest in with us today. Sasha, what did you think of it?
Was Sasha
it good?
Vanilla from the Falcon
it's been
Theater.
A while. I like the movie.
So I think it's a kid's movie. Is that correct? I mean, it's set for children?
Yes.
Because I think my kids at one point wanted to watch it. It's about rockets and science same story. Yeah. It got very good reviews and a fun kind of setting, too.
And, you know, going to that theater is pretty great down there. That's a classic historic theater in San Diego, the Old Globe. So, anyway, we're going to move on.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is an Emmy Award-winning television host and Broadway singer-performer who began his career at age 18 just a few years ago when he was cast in the role of Angel in the critically acclaimed Broadway musical Rent. He continued his Broadway career starring in shows like The Producers and Spinning Into Butter, and he created and performed the title role of Xana in the off-Broadway sensation Xana Don't. Most recognized for his role in the Bravo Network's culturally groundbreaking series, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, he created a niche role on the Emmy Award-winning series as the Culture Vulture. A youthfully savvy addition to the show's already dynamic cast. In the past few years, he's returned to television in dramatic roles on ABC's Detroit 187, guest star appearances on NBC's Are You There, Chelsea?, Fox's Bones, and played a transgender woman, Amanda Knott, on NBC's Harry's Law. He starred as Jeffrey on the ABC TV comedy Malibu Country, opposite Reba McEntire and Lily Tomlin, two gals who I would like to know all about.
Yes,
we get into your interview. Making him the first male reality television star to become a series regular on major network television. This past Christmas, he starred opposite Kelly Clarkson, one of our favorites, in her NBC Christmas special, Kelly Clarkson's Cautionary Christmas Tale. Currently, he can be seen opposite Martin Sheen and Sam Waterston in Netflix hit series Grace and Frankie as Sax on The Bold and the Beautiful, as well as the official host of Lifetime's Dance Moms Reunion and Girl Talk specials. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the multi-talented, innately charming Jay Rodriguez.
Thank you. That introduction makes me sound so busy.
No wonder you're running around all the time.
I'm like, I'm unemployed as of November 6th. Hi, guys.
How are you doing?
Hi. Me?
Wow. So that is a long list of credits. Are you 80 years old, or did you squeeze that all into?
Next year will be 20 years that I've been working like professionally. My first job, I started Rent October 20th, 1997.
Wow. And that was in Toronto, correct?
I opened the Canadian cast, and I'm a New Yorker, and then they just were having a hard time casting all the parts, and so I joined the Canadian cast, opened there for a year, and then did it on Broadway for four.
Which is where I saw you. You were the first angel I ever saw. You were fantastic.
Oh,
and then I met Evan DeAngelis and
Ray from the kids,
So a lot of guys who have gone through that cast I've known over the years. That's an amazing part.
My college years, I call it.
Right? Yeah, that's totally true. That's what it's an education, that's
and
for sure.
Jay, you and I first met, I don't know whether you can remember. Many moons ago. Mm-hmm. And you were playing Desi Arnaz.
That's right.
And, in a musical that was trying to go get its feet up.
That's right.
And with Fleur, the young lady that was playing Lucy.
Yes, I love Fleur. So I did this musical called, well, at the time I think it was called A Cuban and a Redhead, and then later I think they renamed it Dance With Me, but it was about Lucy and Desi and how they basically formed the first sitcom structure that we still follow multicam today. And it was this really great piece that I really loved, and the guys who created it live in New York, and they've done a couple of different workshops of it. I'm not sure the status of it, but it was super fun. That honestly was a really interesting moment because I hadn't done theater in a long time. I'd been in LA maybe 2 years at that point. Queer Eye, I had just finished 2 years prior, and I hadn't done theater in ages. And starting from, which it was a staged reading, I guess it was.
A stage.
Yeah, so we were somewhat, walking around using the space, and it was funny and touching, and I remembered how much I loved doing theater, because when you move to LA, especially from New York, people tell you it doesn't exist out here, and that's just not true.
That's right.
In fact, the theater in Los Angeles is quite good, because the pool of talent here is so diverse, and I think people are unafraid to try new things here, and certainly by me doing Buyer and Seller, that's an example. I'm super thrilled to be in the show, but when I saw it in New York, I didn't think I could, because Michael Urie played it, and he's fabulous, but I thought, they'll never go non-white. They won't do it. But I loved the piece, and so Gary Marshall just, believed that it was really about the character and the essence of the character, and gave me a shot, and so here we are, yeah.
Well, I got to say, sitting there in the audience, I missed Gary being there, but the theater has done amazingly well. There's not a beat missed. Everything continues.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, when you walk into the Falcon Theater, it's just drenched with history. There's all show posters and stills from different shows and a lot of famous faces from television and movies. And you're like, oh my gosh, that person. And so it's a lot of that, and you feel instantly like you're a part of something that goes deeper than just your show. And Gary, he's been gone a couple months now, but I have to tell you that just being in the theater and the space, it's like when I did Rent, we had this sign above the call sheet to sign in, and it was a wooden plaque that said "Thank you, Jonathan." It was Jonathan who wrote Rent, and
Jonathan Larson.
Jonathan Larson, who wrote Rent. And so every day before I go on stage, and I'm out in that little, you guys saw me yesterday. They were a little tardy for the party. And they were having seat issues. So I come out through the audience, so I saw them walk in, so I was giving them a little sass when they came in. But I always say thank you, Gary. Just because of the opportunity, and it's as actors in LA, you are so happy just to be working and thrilled when you're working on something you really like, and you feel is good, and the work is good, and the company from everyone involved with the Falcon Theater to the audience. It's just such a great experience.
Well, I think you have to feel that way, because really, and I must say this very truthfully, I was very taken by your performance, because it is, first of all, it was fresh, it was interesting, you're an interesting person in real life, and you brought all of these characters into your life on the stage.
Thanks.
And to hold an audience in your hand for 90 minutes, 95 minutes?
Yeah.
is a feat unto itself, but to actually engage people in feeling that it's like been 30 minutes.
Right.
It just flies by.
I think that's partly for the sort of vision that Gary had for the show. He wanted it to be far more theatrical than it was originally done, and for you to feel as an audience member that there really were five distinct characters on stage right. with me as the central character. And so Dimitri Toskas, who directed this, was kind of held my hand through the process, because there were times where I was like, I don't want to spend the whole show doing this, which was just basically shifting my body position to become other people. And he, there are a couple moments where that happens, but mostly it's just embodying the character and defining these characters so specifically that it's so clear who's speaking. You don't need to do that. And so trusting him during that process was a struggle. I mean, I freaked out a little bit in the beginning. So like, there's no way they're going to understand what's happening. But I think now doing it, I can't imagine it any other way.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit about the story too, so our audience can know kind of what we're talking about. This is set in my town. It's set in Malibu, and a young actor who is cast in the role of a lifetime, he gets to play Barbra Streisand's essentially personal mall correspondent for the mall in her home. Right.
So she wrote a book about the construction of her dream home in Malibu. And so it's a main house, and there's a barn, and there's like this beautiful koi pond and a mill.
And that part is true, correct?
Totally true. And she had been keeping a lot of her collectibles in storage, which is kind of a waste, because you have these beautiful dresses you wore in films and tchotchkes that you acquired all over the world, but here they are not able to be seen by anyone. Mm-hmm. So she had this brilliant idea to construct a mall in her basement, similar to what shops would look like in the early 1800s. and it's in the barn, and it's downstairs. And when you look at it, the photos in the book, which is called My Passion for Design, it really looks like a street. I mean, it's like cobblestone and stuff. And so it's really fascinating. And so the premise that Jonathan Tollens, the writer, created was, what if someone had to actually work down there? And who would that be? Well, if it was Barbara, she'd probably want someone who had that kind of experience. What about someone who worked on Main Street USA at Disneyland?
Yeah.
Which would be quite comparable. And so I end up playing this character. I mean, I start with the audience setting it all up and talking to them very much the way I am with you. And then I introduce the character. And then we kind of go into this crazy journey. But there's so many cool moments where I get to just have cocktail talk with you guys. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I don't and I can pause for laughs, and I can respond to what the audience is doing. And so in that way, it's really loose, and it feels more like we're having a conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think last night someone's phone went off in the office.
Right? Oh, the best part.
You didn't miss a beat.
No. So I have this one line where I say, you know, I'm setting up the show, and I'm talking about, you know, she built the shopping mall in her basement, and talking about the kinds of shops that are there. And then I said, you know, her mall is just like any other mall, except for the total lack of customers or employees, or maybe not. What if, ring? What if,
wow,
ring? And I was like, what if I just wait for you to just put that phone away, and then I'll tell you, because this is really important. I really want you to get this part. And it was super fun, but it was cool because I was like, I can't not address it. Yeah. It's just not that kind
but
of show.
But don't you love that feeling of adrenaline that shoots through your body
totally.
When something happens? That is, I mean, for me as an actor, that's one of the strangest things you ever feel, is that shock of adrenaline when, I mean, it's not life and death, but it feels life and death in the moment.
My first
it?
Audience, there was four guys who came in late, and they sat pretty much front row, and it was obvious that they were coming in. And so I was right around the same part of the show where it's all exhibition, just like literally setting everything up, and I was like, hey, sorry, I just want to catch you up really quickly. Okay, so this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And I said it really quickly and really succinctly, and the whole audience cheered. I was like, you're caught up, and we're back. Because it was so hard to not.
That's fantastic.
You know, and then I was like, they're not going to really get the whole show, and they're right there. So it was kind of cool to have that opportunity.
He's a caring character.
Right, yeah. Well, at least after you address it, you can move on. Right?
Yeah.
It's been addressed. Well, it's kind of like dropping something. If you don't pick it up, everybody's going to look at it.
Well, the cell phone thing, though, I mean, he didn't go all Patti LuPone on it.
No. No, I wanted her to feel like, hey, it happens, whatever, but like super right. important. I don't want the, these facts to leave your head. So I wanted to, you know.
You want to be involved.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Buyer and Seller at the Falcon Theater right now, starring the amazing J. Rodriguez. It's opened on October 5th. And how long does it run, Jake?
So it runs through November 6th. And we have performances Wednesday nights through Saturday nights at 8 p.m. and then Sundays at 4. Right now, the weekends are filling out rather quickly. So I definitely, if you can only come on a weekend, please go to thefalcontheater.com and get your tickets now. But midweek, we still have availability. It's, you know, I've had a really great time doing this show, but I, first of all, I thank you for coming. And the one thing I hear from people who know me best or for a long time are like, I didn't know you could do that. which is, I get, but I think I've been doing this structure of show in my one-man shows, which is just my story of my life. And I do them very John Leguizamo at the Public Theater style, where I'm playing all the characters. And so for me, I've been doing this somewhat in my cabarets, but like at places like Rockwell. And so here we are on stage, fully scripted, comedy, but there are really some sweet moments. And so it's a really cool opportunity for people who are like, hey, I remember that kid, to kind of have their minds blown a little, because it's not the kid you know.
It's very different for you. And the set is amazing. The set
it's
is
beautiful.
Quite innovative.
Yes, let's talk about that.
It was a wonderful design.
I was totally fascinated by the fact that what they were doing with the set, it depending on what light is on it totally transforms into...
I think a lot of that is Adam Fleming, our design and projection designer. And so much of it is if you notice, the play is done almost, it's not in the round, but you see that there's sort of an arc to the stage. Dimitri had this idea that a lot of these moments are all in his brain, and the brain has no corners, and the eyes, Barbara watching the whole time.
Which was totally great.
Yeah, and so it's just this whole theatrical experience, and so how your brain works, even like when I'm talking about the sprinkles and they appear, and it's like, you know, these suggestions of
the
things
bubbles.
That kind of, and the bubbles and all these things,
Well, the set is a great monument to how well you can do a set that looks like you spent millions of dollars on it, right? I mean, it's something, it's all creativity.
It's so
creative.
My brain does not work like that. I mean, I really get up to Dimitri and Adam for seeing what they literally described, and then it came to life. And I couldn't believe it, because in rehearsal, I was like, this is going to be so corny. And then it just wasn't. It just, because I, you know, I mean, I don't get the opportunity to do a lot of theater. And so sometimes when you do it in a smaller house, you're like, oh gosh, this is not going to be so. And then you're just amazed at how talented directors and designers are to really see a vision fully realized on a budget, but in a way where you think they spent so much money on it.
But you can tell that the money goes to the artist who can make anything beautiful out of anything, you know, which is the way to do it, I think, in theater. And obviously, for those of you who don't know the Falcon, let me enlighten you on how to do a trip to the Falcon. First, you get there 2 hours and you go to Bob's Big Boy. There's no other way to put it. If you're not doing that, you're not fully experiencing the Falcon Theater. And then you go in and you see an amazing show in a comfortable setting with a really great staff and a really great group of people. But more than anything, you go and you leave and you go, man, I'm seeing intimate theater done where it could be on Broadway tomorrow, you know, that kind of thing, which I think is the best part of seeing intimate theater in L.A.
Well, this was very, very successful, of course, as Jay said, in New York.
Absolutely.
And to have it here, the only other time it's been here that I'm aware of is it was at the Mark Taper.
That's right.
Michael came out to
Correct.
Do it, Michael Urie. And, you know, I'm not saying this because you're here today or because the Falcon is in our city. I enjoyed this production more so than I did the one at the Taper.
Well, thank
and
you.
And I liked the Taper one very much, but I was not as drawn into it as I was last night.
Right.
Maybe that had something to do with the fact that we were in a smaller venue last night, but regardless, I think it had a lot to do with your performance.
Well, thanks. I mean, I saw it and I loved it, and I instantly... You know when you see another performer's performance and you know you have to step into that role, or you're trying to think, could you? It's sometimes you just have to let go of, I'm never going to be able to do that, but I can do this, and it's equally good and just different.
Right.
And trusting yourself enough to make different choices is tricky sometimes as a performer.
Yeah.
You know, I've been an understudy before, and directors have oftentimes said, I want you to keep the essence of what we set for the other actor, but find your own way to get there, because you doing a carbon copy of someone else isn't going to be, you know, and that's why I think it kind of works in this space. Gary wanted it more theatrical. I saw everyone fully realize, like, real people and pull back from my normal MO, which would be just to make it a stand-up act.
Yeah.
And just allow it to be a play where characters have feelings and respond to each other.
Let me ask you something. You being a singer as well, and you, so you certainly know how to take care of your voice, because that's taxing, speaking for 90 straight through.
I learned that the first week. I didn't think it would be, because it's just talking, and I thought, oh, that's fine. And then I think I went out to like celebrate, had drinks with friends that like the night of whatever, the first invited dress, and the next morning I was like, ooh, uh-oh, whoa, like I was like, nope, can't do that again. So yeah, it's really fascinating, because I thought it's only 90 minutes, but then I'm like, oh, it's just me.
And I never see you, there's nothing, you don't even take a sip of water during that 90 minutes.
We talked about that. I was like, can I figure, I mean, there is a water bottle hidden in the chaise, like behind
in
the chaise,
case in some of disaster,
in
yeah.
case I choke and die on my own spit. But like, literally, I kept on the entire rehearsal process. I was like, and then he grabs some water. He's like, no, it's distracting. I don't want it there. So it was more a visual thing, because the set is so minimal that he didn't want just water there the whole time.
Right. And pristine.
But it's there as it's there as an emergency. But trust me, the minute the show's over. And wait, here's the other thing. I have to plan my when I pee before the show. Because you can't leave. There's no leave. You're stuck there for, you know, and of course when you're talking and hopping around, that's the minute you think you, oh gosh.
I want you I to teach go. A master class on this somewhere. How to pee before a show. Gosh. That for me, ladies and gentlemen.
Or you can't, I can't have any more. I stop drinking water at like 7:30.
Right. You got to be careful. You're you absolutely. Just, it's interesting. I mean, the Falcon is such a fun space, and obviously this is a great show to go see there, but it really is all about the performer, and you grabbed onto it, and you bit off a huge amount. That's, I mean, 90 minutes of one performer. You walk in as a reviewer, and you think, oh, please let this work. And boy, it just did. You were so likable. And more than anything, that situation is so absurd.
Totally.
You know, and you fall in love with the idea that it could actually happen.
Right.
So,
well, and your barber is pretty good, and I know you're not trying.
Right. I know. Well, because I grew up in New York, and so I always had, this is pretty funny, because I'm Puerto Rican Italian, and so I grew up in a like just a very big personality household, and certainly even in my community it was Latin, Italian, Jewish, so, and everyone had these thick New York accents, so I had many a Jewish mother in my life, and so I just kind of likened my Barbara to one of these women, and so it's not like a spot on impersonation. I start the show saying I don't do her, but I do like the essence of everything I think that New York woman would be like behind closed doors. And yeah, I don't know.
Well, that totally came across.
We are, of course, talking today about Buyer and Seller at the Falcon Theater.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, tickets are so reasonably priced, $30 to $45, and they're, of course, on sale now. You can visit www.falcontheater.com. That's theater with an R-E.
Or you can call the box office at 818-955-8101. And the box office hours are Tuesday through Friday between 12 and 6, and Saturday and Sunday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., and 1 hour prior to the show on performance days. And, of course, as Andrew just said, more information can be found at Falcon Theater, which is spelled R-E, by the way, for those of you that spell it a different way, falcontheater.com.
And we, of course, also in the first half of our show today, we're very fortunate to talk to the beautiful Emily Bridges, who's been so patient
Indeed.
Here with us today. And her show is called Spindle City, the Lizzie Borden musical at the Secret Rose Theater. Reservations are available there at 323-960-7780.
And online ticketing at plays411.com /Spindle City and brownpapertickets.com. So two ways to find that. And of course, you can visit their website at lizzieborden.musical.com.
And obviously, we're going to come back and talk to these two amazing performances. Maybe they'll be honest, kind enough
think?
To let us baptize them here in a minute.
You think? Yeah.
I also want to take a second, Michael. You know, I saw Evita this week.
Yes,
at
you
Cabrillo,
did.
And Cabrillo's now doing two weekend runs. They're doing two weekend runs for their show.
Cabrillo Musical Theater.
Cabrillo Musical Theater up at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts. Yes, of course. And it's interesting because for me, I got a chance to sit there, and you know how much I love that area of town.
Yeah.
You know, I perform there. I do Christmas Carol there each year. And I love what the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza does. But Evita was interesting primarily, although it was a great production overall, because of our buddy Mark Ginsberg.
Yes.
His performance as Che was amazing. This was really a fantastic role for him and so different from anything else he's done. But I wanted to quickly say, too, Cabrillo is now doing their season in such an interesting way. You can walk in and you can buy tickets at the box office, or you can, of course, call ahead of time, and you can sit in this beautiful 1,800 seats. Is that right?
1,800, yeah.
1,500-seat theater, and you can find these amazing shows there. They've discounted prices. There's some really amazing deals right now. And, of course, tickets are available for Cabrillo Music Theater at their website, cabrillomusictheater.com. And their number, of course, is 805-497-8613, and the extension is 6. But the reason you want to go see Evita is two reasons. Of course, everything Cabrillo does is so wonderful. But there's a newcomer who we saw in Next to Normal. Do you remember her, Michael? She plays the sister, Issa. She was, I think she actually says Issa, from what I've understood.
Issa?
Yeah, but she's a young performer. I believe she's still in high school. And she plays the mistress in this production. Her last
name...
She is
17 in real life.
17. Yes. Her last name is Brownis, and she is fantastic.
Yes,
she's really quite amazing to watch. And the second reason, of course, Mark is great as well, and the whole cast is very good.
Cassandra Murphy playing...
Cassandra Murphy in the title role is amazing, right. But you gotta go see a tango number in the first act. It is the most eye-catching tango number I've ever seen in my entire life. It's really well choreographed, and it gives such a feeling of authenticity to this amazing historical piece. So I want to give a quick shout out to Cabrillo, who we love so much, but also two weekends to see the show. Don't miss it.
See it on Sunday.
Good. A couple other things we should do for our guests. Shall we baptize them, Michael?
I think we should.
Should we be nervous?
I know.
You should.
The nerves are, my goodness, well, it's time for ladies.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Entire yearly budget went to that sound effect.
That's great.
No kidding.
Money well spent.
Guys, we do a segment here called Embarrassing Moments, and strangely enough, what we ask for, wait for it, is embarrassing moments from our performers. Does anybody have one that comes to mind?
We each have about a minute.
That's right. Yes. Something that makes you feel, makes us all feel like we're a part of this family of performers where anything can happen?
I have a good one.
Let's hear it, Emily.
I just recently did Extremities with Dark and Stormy Productions, a wonderful theater company in Minneapolis, and kind of their whole deal is that they put all their resources into the performers and the artists, and they don't have a theater. So they perform in atypical spaces. This atypical space happened to be sort of a loft warehouse situation where one of our entrances was also the dressing room. And following, if you're familiar with the play, first 20 minutes are a big fight, assault, kind of dramatic scenario. And then I'm supposed to come out of the dressing room / entrance and interrupt. And the door got jammed and broke, and I was locked in the dressing room. And the artistic director, who was being the person who was getting, you know, beat up and beating the other guy up on stage, she had to finally pause the production, announce to the audience that we had an actor trapped in the dressing room. And meanwhile, I actually found a toolbox, which... always keep a toolbox in your dressing room. And I took the pins off the side of the door.
Well done.
And had to break myself out. And then we announced to the audience, we will now continue.
You're like my God.
And it actually ended up being one of my favorite performers because the audience was on our side immediately for the rest of the show.
Emily, that's going in the embarrassing moments. Yeah. Jay, do you have anything like that?
I have two quick ones. Both oddly are in drag. On Broadway in Rent, I had a very light lace front wig that they had created, and there was just a headband that kind of snapped in the back of my neck to keep it securely in place, which means if you pushed the wig back slightly, it would fall off.
Oh,
but
no.
Generally it didn't, and I never had an issue with it. And one day, this is a big shopping number in the middle of the act one where they're outside buying a coat, and I'm buying a coat for the pumpkin. Like, this starts to snow, and I say, kiss me, it's beginning to snow. And I start running upstage with my boyfriend, and I pass the sculpture, which has irregular, you know, jagged metal pieces on it.
No.
And the sculpture took my wig. And I didn't know because I had a wig cap on. So I'm backstage, you know, blowing my nose. And my co-star is like, where's your wig? Where's your wig? I'm like, what? Oh, and I feel like I don't know where it is. I'm looking on the floor. Everyone's backstage looking for my wig, which is literally just hanging off the side of the sculpture, happy as can be. And the second time was same here. About 6 months later, I was in this movie called The New Guy for Paramount, and I played, they'd come see me in Rent, and they just gave me this part. And I was playing this inmate who's going to give this lead character a makeover in prison. Tragic foreshadowing, by the way. Anyway, they needed a picture for him to look like he had a girlfriend, so they dressed me up, this inmate, to look like a sexy Latina. And the costumer said, what do we do for boobs? Because did I didn't know. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Let's use like water balloons or condoms. The sound guys have condoms for the mics. So I put two condoms filled with water as breasts and got on set and tried to shoot a scene. And I was fine for about an hour and a half. And then my condom exploded. And it looked like I just wet myself in drag on camera. It was pretty embarrassing and hilarious. So AKA, don't ever use water balloons as breasts. It doesn't really work.
A life lesson. Just like you should have a tool belt.
Exactly. Yes, yes. And always keep a toolbox in your dressing room.
That's right.
Emily J., thank you so much for joining us here today on Stage.
Thank you.
We're grateful to have you here.
What, this show always flies by so quick. We could do another 2 hours
with
this guest.
I know. My goodness. I know.
Michael, it's a pleasure to see you.
Always a pleasure to see you, sir, and we'll be here next week doing the same thing, right?
Where will I see you, Michael?
Right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.